We rise. Let us pray. O Lord, you are victorious in your humble death and glorious resurrection. Let your kingdom come, we pray, with grace and forgiveness, that we might be granted to stand in your presence forever. Amen. Our text is based on our gospel text for today. We consider the first two verses of Matthew 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is God's word. To all who look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the salvation which appears to all men is yours, dear fellow redeemed. You need to repent. Okay? Do I know you? I don't think you get it. You see, you need to repent. Don't you know what's coming? You need to get your life straightened out. You need to become a better Christian. If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. This conversation is likely to spark a reaction. But of what sort? Defensiveness? Well, what about you? Despair? You're right. I do need to repent. But will God forgive me? Or perhaps determination. Okay, you're right. I don't want to end up like those other sinners. I will do it. I'm ready to get more religious. Whatever the reaction, this conversation is missing something. It's coming up short. Yes, we need to repent. The problem is, we don't. And the problem is, we can't. This conversation has become all about what I need to do. And it's missing out on the most essential element of John's proclamation. Today, we are seeking to find a definition of repentance. We tend to think repentance is something we need to do, something I can do, or something somebody else must do. Repent. It's a command, isn't it? And so we try to get things started. We try to initiate it. We have a conversation with our friend Jim. Jim, you see, has some problems. He doesn't go to church. He's been divorced twice. He's got a problem with his weight. He's got a problem with drinking. Now, Jim is the sort of person who needs to repent, isn't he? So what do I do? What do I say? I keep trying to tell him you need to repent, that you need to get your life straightened out, and he admits, I'm right, he admits that he has sinned, but he's afraid. He's afraid that his sins are too many, that God could never forgive them all, and that what happens if he sins again? So I say, you know, Jim, all you need to do is repent. You need to stop making excuses. You need to start coming to church. Get your act cleaned up. You need to be a Christian. You need to find a church, an Orthodox church, of course. But what am I saying? Am I not saying, Jim, you really need to look more like me? They come out into the wilderness saying, "We have Abraham as our father. We are the center of religious life. We are the definition of piety." What does this baptizer think he's doing, offering forgiveness for free to someone like Jim? Do not think to say such things. Do not think to say, "At least I'm not as bad as Jim." Do not think to say, "At least I have repented." Do not think to say, at least I go to church. At least I am a Lutheran. At least I am an Orthodox Lutheran. The axe is already laid to the roots, and it's ready to take us out at the heels. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down. So where are the good fruits? If repentance is all about need to do, am I not the first to be cut down? For I've been warned to flee, and what do? I stand tall as if Christian good looks are going to get me by. Who can stand? Repentance is not something I need to do, can do, or can get someone else to do. That is to say, repentance is not something I can initiate. It's not about what I do or what I tell someone else to do. It is not about how I look, what church I go to, how many Sunday services I've attended, or what secrets I can keep hidden away in the dark. For as Paul writes, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. The conversation is missing something. Repentance is not an action, it's a reaction. Yes, it's a command, but that's not all there is to it. You see, John had more to say. We're missing something. We read, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice the basis for John's call to repentance. The kingdom of heaven is here. Whatever that means. Whatever it means, it must be important. We should probably take a closer look. Because in this brief phrase, we in fact find the whole emphasis and explanation that defines repentance. In this short phrase, the kingdom of heaven, people were flocking from all over Judea and the surrounding regions to come out into the wilderness and to see this man wearing camel's hair, eating grasshoppers, baptizing. Repentance is a reaction to the coming of Christ's kingdom. Yes, the kingdom of heaven is an event which creates a reaction. It creates a reaction because it is so strange. It is strange because it's so different. It's so different than the kingdoms that we are used to. God's heavenly power is so distinct from earthly power. God's rule is not found in the midst of the religious authorities who are in Jerusalem, or the comforts of earthly fame and power. It's found out in the desert, where a man's wearing camel hair, eating grasshoppers, not in the comforts of fame or power. He's a strange voice in the desert, as Isaiah prophesied. Think about the strange manner in which this king comes. Think about what it means for the Son of God to take on human flesh, to be constrained to human limitations, to feel human pain. Think about what it means for God to be among us, to perform miracles that defy the laws of nature, to cast out spirits, to raise dead Lazarus. Think about what it means for the Son of God to stand trial before a Roman earthly governor and say, "My kingdom is not of this world." The kingdom of God is an event of God's reign. It is an exercise of a heavenly authority. It meets its goal and destiny, everything that it's all about, in the death and resurrection of Christ. Because there in the death of Christ, our King, God's kingdom was exercising its authority over death itself. Was the Creator entering into the creation? Entering into our sins. It was the only begotten of God who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a payment for sin. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And God would prove his power when he raised Jesus from the dead. The coming of Christ's kingdom was in the resurrection, which declared all of your sins forgiven. The kingdom of heaven is the strange event where God comes from heaven to earth to enact his reign upon us. So repentance is an event where God comes from heaven to earth to enact his reign upon us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand when Christ is conceived, when he performs miracles, when he dies, suffers, and rises for us, when he ascends into heaven, and finally when he comes to reign within us. So Paul writes, the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This event of the Holy Spirit is very strange. And it is an event, because God's kingdom is never stagnant, it's never complacent, it's not a place, it's not an object, but it's something that happens. It's something that changes lives. So Luther would put it in his explanation to the second petition, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live a godly life, here in time and hereafter in eternity. There is a hidden force behind John's proclamation, a driving conviction that only the Holy Spirit can create. Repent, for God is coming from heaven to earth to enact his reign upon us. In such a proclamation, God has chosen to send his Spirit in no other way but through the Word. When we hear John say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we should think God is doing something. He's coming from heaven to earth to enact his reign upon us. Through the Word, the Holy Spirit comes to reveal Christ, to make us very aware of our sins, to lead us to see the wrath that's coming upon disobedience, the deepest and darkest of our sins that are hidden away come out, and they're exposed to Christ's reign. As we consider the depth of our sins that required God's only Son as the solution, repentance is born. If it was something I need to do, if it was something I can initiate, then why would John call it the kingdom of heaven? It would simply be the kingdom of earth. Something we're very familiar with, something that's not very strange, because we're used to the way the kingdoms of this world function. It's survival of the fittest. They all function on the basis of the law. If you want to be accepted, if you want someone else's favor, then you had better do this and this and such and such. It's all written down. Your obedience. It's a conversation about your survival, what you've earned, and what you get to keep, and your glory, and it all is burned up in the end. There's nothing strange. But Christ's kingdom, on the other hand, creates a reaction. It is a strange idea that by his grace, apart from our works, God would save us. So Jesus will liken it to an invitation. Think kingdom of heaven, invitation. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to join him in this banquet celebration, but they made excuses. They weren't interested. And so the king said, go into the highways and byways. Go into the least likely places to find people that would be at a king's banquet. Go into the strangest of areas. Find the strangest of sinners. That is to say, invite Jim to come. That is to say, invite all those who come here today with sins to come. Invite them to this strange event where simple water washes away everything that has gone wrong. bring them from all around to this place of my kingdom where the invitation has no qualifications. It's not about who you are, but it's about what I am, what I say. Prepare the way because I am coming. I am the king who's coming to change them because I'm not going to wait for them to come to me. It'll never happen. I will make things ready myself. And I will send my spirit to the stone-hardened heart to raise up children. For I am Christ, and I save by grace. This event of God's invitation is how the Holy Spirit creates a reaction. We call it repentance. We call it a change of mind and heart. Repentance is a reaction of faith created by the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of God's gracious invitation. We're building this definition. But it's a reaction that's about more than a momentary decision or a commitment. God does not visit his creation, his creatures, to simply effect something for one day and leave them to their own the next. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. He comes every day when his kingdom reigns, when his proclamation is heard, when the Bible is read, when our Savior is considered. So Luther would put it in his 95 Theses, when our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, said in Matthew 3:2, Penitentiam agate, he willed that the whole life of the believer should be repentance. Repentance is a reaction that's not just the part of one day, it's the part of every day. It's really no different than faith. It is to trust in our Lord and Savior and to live in his love. It is a baptismal identity. So Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In those waters of the Jordan River, however dirty it might have been, in the waters of this font, God is enacting his reign. He's making up you his own. God's grace in Christ's kingdom bring a strange reaction, where God sets up his throne in your heart. A reaction where God's child now bears works that agree with the repentance that he's expressing or she's expressing. It's where a person gets help for an addiction. It is where a couple gets marriage counseling. It is where a troubled heart reveals a painful truth that he or she has been keeping secret. It's where an honest conscience returns what's been stolen. It is where an employee does her job well, even when no one is watching. It is when a son speaks respectfully to his mother. It's a reaction, and it's a fruit of God's creation. Sometimes it means being cast out into the desert. Sometimes it means being far from the religious majority, where frankly we look strange and we sound strange. But they're fruits of his reign. And all we can do is react. Even that is a work of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is a reaction expressed in the believer's whole life of humble faith and service toward God who has redeemed him or her. So today we're defining repentance, and we find it's as full as the scriptures are deep. Repentance is a reaction to the coming of Christ's kingdom. It is a reaction to the strange event where God comes from heaven to earth to enact his reign on us. It is a reaction of faith created by the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of God's gracious invitation. And it is a reaction which is expressed in the believer's whole life of humble faith and service toward God who has redeemed him or her. Don't you get it? Christ's kingdom is at hand. Okay, I get it. We need to repent. The problem is we don't. The problem is we can't. And the good news is Christ has done it all for us. Just let him do the work. for Jim or for yourself. The strange event of God has come, the invitation is extended, and the Holy Spirit is working a wonderfully strange reaction. Repent indeed, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ's kingdom is an event which creates a reaction, and we call it repentance. Amen.